Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Tuesday, June 5th, 2018. We're at Worldwide Developer Conference again in San Jose. And with me today, Kelly Gumont. How's it going, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. It's going great. How about you?
I'm doing well. It's great to be in the same studio to record. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am enjoying myself here in the studio today, too.
Awesome. And we have a sponsor. That sponsor is iAmazing. We'll talk about them soon. We also have sponsors for the whole week. That includes Jamf, iAmazing, Carbon Copy Cloner, Smile, and Eero. So thank you to all of our sponsors that made it possible for us to be here all week to cover everything WWDC for you. So we might as well just hop right in to more from, well, what we've found out since yesterday. is there a topic that you guys really want to hit first?
I was really excited about password managers and what Apple did. This was sort of the first part of the State of the Union, as I call it, keynote part two. And really, it is worth watching at least the first half of it before it devolves into some of the really cool Xcode things that they've done. But with passwords, you know, iCloud Keychain has always been a good thing, but it, like anything Apple, it works great right up until the point of frustration. And then that point of frustration is very painfully obvious. And where this pain point, the obvious pain point was, is with apps. A few years ago, Apple added the ability for apps to tap into iCloud Keychain so that, for example, when you launch the Yelp app or the Netflix app, it can say, hey, do you want me to autofill your password from the last time you visited the Yelp website or the Netflix website, which is really cool. And to Apple's credit, they have done a fantastic job encouraging app developers to integrate this functionality. And it's like it's everywhere now, which is awesome. Where it gets frustrating is when you're creating an account in an app and that functionality appears to be nowhere. You have to like type a password and remember it, and there's no way to have the system remember it and all of that stuff. Well, in iOS 12, that now changes. You get that reverse functionality so that when an app is when you're creating an account inside an app, it stores it to that same offers to store it to the same iCloud password keychain database. It offers to generate the password for you. And when that text message comes in to confirm your identity and there's a code in that text message, it parses that out and puts it in a little autofill thing that you can then trigger to fill. Very cool. And so with this, I started thinking, oh, wow, they're trying to, you know, Sherlock or measured.
They're trying to measure.
Yeah. all the third-party password apps. And without missing a beat, they said, and we've added a new hook for third-party password apps into Safari and into this whole thing so that they can, to call them first-class citizens, I don't know. I haven't seen how it works yet. So they may or may not be on equal footing with iCloud Keychain, but they're going to be much closer. And their whole, one-time use password, the whole Google Authenticator type functionality that also lives in like 1Password and things like that is going to be exposed for this as well. So I think like that's a big thing.
That's huge.
Yep. It definitely keynote worthy. Didn't have enough time in the keynote to fit it in. So it was first on the agenda with State of the Union.
And I feel like the shift in that was really interesting, mostly because it is a thing where a lot of times Apple would say, you know, if you want to use iCloud Keychain, this is all super awesome. And if you don't, well, that's just a bummer, you know, or like, if you don't, why not? Like, and sort of make it almost harder to do something outside of Apple's ecosystem. So if you use LastPass or 1Password or Dashlane or any of these other things, like, it's still going to suck for you. Like, is what we would have gotten before. Now they're like, oh, and by the way, we've made it possible for you to use the thing you already have in this same way.
I like that. It makes sense to me to do that because you have a lot of people, they don't need a third-party password manager. They just need something that remembers their passwords. But there's also a lot of people that need the extra functionality that goes along with something like 1Password. And now it will integrate tighter into the system.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, so we had the password thing. That was really cool. We have device compatibility. We didn't talk about that yesterday.
No, we didn't know about it yesterday, so we didn't talk about it yesterday. But so iOS 12 works on every Mac. Sorry, it works on no Macs. I'm sorry about that. It works.
What state of the union were you at yesterday, Dave?
It was pretty good. It was just down the road. The neighborhood wasn't quite as good, but the
drinks were nice.
The refreshments were awesome. iOS 12 will run on everything that iOS 11 ran on. However, Mac OS Mojave 10.14 will not run on everything that High Sierra and Sierra before it ran on. Specifically, it's basically 2012 and newer machines are the ones that will run Mojave. The people that are sort of out in the cold, and I am amongst you, are the late 2009 to mid 2010 MacBook, the up through 2011 MacBook Pro, same with the Air, same with the Mac Mini, same with the iMac. So those 2011 machines, even up to the late 2011 iMac, are a no-go on this. And really, and even the Mac Pro, it's interesting. The late 2013 Mac Pro, no problem. The mid 2010 and mid 2012 models are, but, and this is the big clue, they will require an upgraded metal capable GPU.
Ah, okay.
Right? And I think I know why. Because iOS has been using metal for a long time. Right, it's newer to the Mac in that sense, at least in terms of devices out there in the world. Mm-hmm. There are less Macs out there than there are iOS devices that are metal capable. Metal is Apple's graphics framework, which they've committed to. It sort of takes the place of OpenGL and OpenCL and those sorts of things. Their framework to leverage the power of the GPU, again, for graphics, but also for computational stuff. Metal is it. Now, let's think, why are they deprecating any Mac that cannot run Metal? And the reason is UIKit. They are putting UIKit into Mac OS. UIKit are the frameworks that let an app interact with the iPhone, the touch interfaces and all that. UIKit does not exist on the Mac. But as we saw, there are 4 apps that Apple has essentially recompiled from iOS and is running on Mac OS, with more coming and third-party developer support for that concept coming in 2019. In order to do that, because so many iOS apps leverage Metal, they just needed to draw the line and say, okay, we need Mac OS Mojave that's going to be able to support this portability of iOS apps. I don't know what the right terminology for us to use, but I think portability is a better word than anything else. That requires Metal. Otherwise, there will be this sort of arbitrary, oh, well, that app doesn't work on your computer, but it does work on mine.
And they're not going to do that.
And they're not going to do that. That's going to be a bad user experience, is really what it is. But this is also informative, right? Clearly, this whole thing about iOS apps that could be running on the Mac is a pretty big deal to Apple if they're making that a mandatory part of the hardware requirements for the system. So,
yeah, that seems like a pretty serious commitment. And the bigger message out of this is that my MacBook Air can't be my beta machine anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we have a sponsor today.
We do.
And that's pretty cool because it's iMazing.
It is iMazing. And again, our thanks to them for coming on board and doing this and helping to support what we are doing here and the travel and all of that stuff. iMazing is a fully fledged iOS device manager, which lets you simply do more with your iPhone, iPad, or even your iPod. With iMazing, you can do so many things, including exporting all of your data, syncing your music and photos, transferring your documents and files via Wi-Fi, and more. but it's also the most advanced iOS backup tool on the market. Yes, it's better than iTunes. Not that that's a high bar, but they have exceeded it. They have set the high bar, right? Because it lets you back up to your chosen backup location, including external drives or your NAS device. And unlike with iTunes or iCloud backups, it maintains a history of your backups for maximum safety. Think Time Machine for iOS backups. Plus, backup encryption is fully supported. It's got new features all the time. They just added advanced app management, including downloads of your app IPA files from the App Store to your computer. And iMazing 2.6 is about to be released, or maybe it was yesterday. I can't remember.
I know, time flies.
Yes. And it adds Safari data to it, like browsing history, bookmarks, and reading lists, as well as calendars to the mix. So check it out, really. Visit iMazing.com/TDO. And because we have an exclusive 30% discount for all of our readers and listeners. So go check it out. The backup portion of iMazing is free, so you definitely want to do that. Again, iMazing.com/TDO, and you can get all the features for 30% off. Our thanks to iMazing for sponsoring this episode.
Yes, thank you, iMazing. Okay, so we didn't have time yesterday to talk about shortcuts. We should totally do that.
So shortcuts are exciting to me because I really liked that we found out what happened to Workflow. The Workflow app was super great on iOS. It was this little Lego block way to build a thing that did a series of commands, whatever those were. And you could set that up. It was sort of like having a really great, a really amped up version of if this, then that. But it was what happened with stuff that you did on your iOS devices. So you can tell your iOS device to put a certain thing in Dropbox and do whatever with it and then, you know, make something happen after that. It was really great. And then Apple bought it and it got like one major update and then we didn't really hear a lot about it for a while. And now we know why. It's back because Siri shortcuts, the interface you use to build them, is basically the Workflow app again. And it was sort of a relief to find out, like, Apple didn't buy it and kill it or take one tiny piece of it that they thought was neat and implement it in some other way that wasn't going to be helpful to most people. It really does look like Workflow. You know, it's one of those where you, if somebody tells you that and then you go look at it, like, it's very obvious that's what's happening. So, Hey, this looks like Workflow. And then you show them the picture. Oh, yeah, it totally does. So it was great to see, and I'm really interested in it because I like the possibility that this gives you when you're using your voice assistant on your phone and what you could do to unlock certain stuff. And one of the things that was great about it was you can set up prompts. Like, you get to pick what it says in order to launch this particular set of actions on your device.
I'm really curious to check it out. I like you, Kelly, I've been a Workflow user for a while, and we use it at home for all kinds of things. I joke about how my son, he's much better at math than I am, and it's hard for me to admit that. But
but you're a big man, Dave.
Yeah, well, sure. Let's pretend. But he, in order to keep myself good at math, I started doing funny things with tips at restaurants, like calculating the tips such that the final total was a palindrome and things like that. And he saw me doing that at a restaurant, and he said, yeah, I bet we could do that with Workflow. And by the time we got home from the restaurant, he had coded up this whole thing in Workflow. So I'm curious to see if that level of sort of geeky stuff is still there in shortcuts, or if they've taken some of that out. Because he was, you know, you're able to set variables and stuff data around and manipulate things. And this really had nothing to do with other apps or that. I mean, it would be cool to invoke Siri and say, calculate the tip on a bill that is, you know, $22.14 for me. But other than that, you know, like, I hope that part of that functionality remains here, or perhaps it remains as Workflow and it's two separate things. And that would actually be totally okay. So I'm just really, I'm curious about that, but very excited to see the parts of Workflow that we did see exposed to deeper level system functionality that a third party app simply cannot have without other third party app developers screaming, you know, how unfair life is.
All right. So last night I was talking with a couple people who were very excited about Shortcuts. They asked me something that I couldn't answer because I don't know. And if you guys know, awesome. And if not, well, now we have homework. With Shortcuts becoming a thing, the way we use workflow today, where we can set up a workflow and then turn it into like an app icon on your home screen, will people still be able to do that part?
That's a good question. I had to get up out of my chair here. We're sharing a microphone. But I'm equally flabbergasted by it. Like, I guess that's the same question I was just asking. Like, you know, how much of that, we'll call it legacy. It like pains me to use that word, but how much of that legacy workflow functionality is all just right there and exposed? Yeah.
Well, if we get to keep the workflow app, then the answer would be yes, because it would work the same way.
Okay. Yep.
If
that
the
makes
workflow
sense.
App is in some way made irrelevant or unusable on iOS 12, then that would answer the question as well. But I haven't seen anything about that or seen it be an issue. So I'm really hopeful that we get to continue to have workflow, but also realize that what they've done is taken the idea behind workflow and what it does and how you interact with it and turn that into something that where you can use voice commands. Because you're sort of setting up the app shortcut by getting to name it whatever you name it so that you can tell Siri to do whatever it is that you want to do.
Yeah, and it's not just voice commands. You know, it's easy for us to think about Siri as that voice thing, but it is more than that, right? It's the thing that predicts what you want to do, and then offers, like, it'll launch apps in the background, it'll pick playlists for you when you're doing your workouts or whatever, and it already does that at some level. This enhances that, and at some level, this lets you have a little bit of control over that. So you can build this, you know, workflow, the going home workflow that gets you the directions to where you're going. It sends a text to your partner that you're on your way and starts your, you know, rocking down the highway playlist or whatever it is, right?
mm-hmm. How did you know?
I took a guess. because that's the right song to start it with. But in addition to being able to invoke that with a Siri command now via Shortcuts, aka workflow, it can also surface that on your home screen and say, like, hey, do you want to start the drive home thing? Tap here, mm-hmm. right? So it's going to do some of that intelligent stuff. I really wish we could see and manipulate that database because sometimes it gets it wrong. And it would be so nice. This is just me ranting. It'd be mm-hmm. so nice to go in and say, what do you think you know about my life? Let me tell you about my life, you know, and sit down on the couch with Siri and have that, you know, patient therapist conversation. Mm-hmm. Because it would probably be very informative and scary in some ways what Siri knows about your habits. And maybe that's why Apple chooses not to expose that to us. But I, being the person who thinks he's as self-aware as he thinks he is, I would like to see that, and really I'd like to manipulate it so that I can make it more powerful for me. So.
I would like to see it because sometimes that stuff persists and continues to be wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I have a TiVo, and TiVo suggests a wide variety of things based on whatever. So when I look at that, like, I can see why TiVo thinks I want that show, but TiVo is completely wrong. And how do I explain to TiVo that because I like A and I like B, that doesn't mean I need a season pass for Q? I really don't.
Yep.
I assure you the answer is no. And I would really like if we could get that sort of, because I would like to know what it is. Because, you know, what if it's that time I said something that she misunderstood and has now filed away as
gospel?
Oh, obviously, mm-hmm. yes. What you want every morning is gospel. No, only on a Sunday. You know, whatever, like, whatever that thing is, I would like to be able, I too would like to be able to see where that's coming from.
Yeah.
So that if nothing else, I can see where it's coming from and that, oh, well, you know, I told her this, and then, you know, be able to tell other people, like, I said this one time and she said she thought it was that. So, like, keep an ear out.
It would make the Siri experience way more powerful if we could train it.
Fine tune.
That's the right term. But it's not there yet, as far as I know. So
yeah. Well, okay.
But I also think
iOS 13.
Well, lucky number 13.
Let's start the wish list now.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this because I'm curious how this stacks up to other assistants. I know the A lady on my Echo Base at home now has some sort of you can string things together in particular ways. And I don't think that's as good an experience as what the Siri workflow will be.
It probably isn't.
I don't know if Google announced anything at I/O this year about being the similar functionality in their assistant. So I don't know if I don't know. Like, maybe they did. I don't know. Once this show goes out, I'm sure Twitter will be happy to inform me. But I haven't seen any of it yet. And so for me, the other thing that's interesting about this is that this is a way that Siri is being differentiated from all the other assistants that are out there for people to use.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to really diving into shortcuts. And even so much so that I may very well put my HomePod on developer beta software so that I can use it with shortcuts.
So when you do that and your HomePod starts singing Daisy to you, run.
Run. Get out. Yeah.
Flee the area immediately.
I do not forget my space helmet. Just saying.
Okay.
All right. We are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
It's always great. Kelly, I'm so glad you were here too.
Yeah, I had a blast. Thanks for having me on the show.
And iMazing, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, which is iMazing.com/TDO, and get your copy of iMazing. I use it all the time, and it's why I felt so comfortable installing iOS 12 developer beta on my iPad mini. Because if something went wrong, I can use iMazing and restore it back to a working iPad again. So anyhow, listeners, I am glad you were here. Thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.
That was totally the ad right there. If you're trying to install the developer beta and go where angels do in fact fear to tread, here's what you do.